What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And boy, oh boy, do we have an episode for you today, you guys.
Oh boy.
We have done one breakups episode in the past, and we've gotten requests for them before. I've definitely answered messages individually or on our Self Helpless social media for people saying, which one should I listen to if I'm going through a breakup, if I'm experiencing heartbreak? And I think the one we recorded about breakups was during a time we were all in relationships.
Yeah.
And so I feel like now is the time to really just give you guys the breakup episode you deserve.
Yes.
When 33% of us are no longer happy. No, I'm joking. I'm happy. But you know,
just really get in there.
It's been a while. I've realized during the course of this podcast, I've been in two relationships now. So I've gone through two breakups now.
Oh,
on this podcast.
Yeah.
And you know, it's about time that I start giving back to those helpsters going through it, because I am the representative. God damn it. I mean, I feel like we see that a lot on the Facebook group, which if you're not a part of the Self-Helpless Facebook group, you should absolutely get on there.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Such an amazing place for like support and community.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of posts from people who are either having relationship issues or going through a breakup, and the outpouring of support is like so amazing.
It's
and
so
heartwarming.
Nice. They become friends and stuff too, and like meet up for coffee and all that type
come
of stuff.
It's just together.
So cool.
It's incredible.
It's the coolest.
Yeah. It's so nice. So we're going to be covering the book How to Fix a Broken Heart by Guy Winch. Which was actually great. I listened to the audiobook on Audible.
Oh.
Lauren went through it on Blinkist, which is great if you haven't tried that. And it was awesome. It was really, really helpful. I wish I had listened to it sooner. I wish I'd listened to it when I was even
like
more
fresh
in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because now I'm in a pretty good place.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd listened to it when I was in a worse place, because it really does give you like so much comfort in that you don't feel alone, you don't feel crazy, you don't feel weird for feeling the way you do. Mm. And he gives you like practical skills to you know, get through the breakup. So
awesome.
Obviously I picked this topic. We do have a quotable. Anyone want to do the quotable?
I want to do the quotable.
Do it.
Good one. God, I love this quote. This is from good old Mark Twain. Never allow someone to be your priority while allowing yourself to be their option.
Ooh, damn. Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Man, I still freaking love that one quote, though, that we did that was like, what was it? Like, imagine, what was it? You can love the wrong person so much. Imagine how much you can love the right one. Right?
Oh, that's another great. So good.
If you can love the wrong person that much, imagine how much you'll love the right person.
That's a really good one.
That's such a good breakup one.
Absolutely.
That's a good comfort nugget, right?
Just
take a munch out of it.
Yeah, stick it in your pocket. Eat it later. Feel good. Yeah, I love that. That's a great one.
That's
so good.
I mean,
we could do an entire hour episode of breakup quotes.
We absolutely could.
We should. Maybe that'll be the next one.
Breakup songs.
Yeah,
all
breakup movies. Yeah, yeah, we could
that's,
do a whole
that
thing.
Is the best part about going through a breakup is you're like, oh, I can listen to Adele again.
Oh, you know, my like, God, right?
I can watch High Fidelity and really feel it.
Yes. Put on some John Mayer, Heartbreak Warfare. Oh, the best.
You just want
that whole
really,
album.
Yeah, because when you listen to it when you're like happy and safe, you're like, I mean, this is good, but it's not hitting.
You like pity the artist that was like, that person. What a bore.
Must be hard.
Yeah.
Have I told you what my breakup song is? I think you guys are going to make fun of me.
Oh, we absolutely
something
will.
Tenacious D.
No, actually, that's just an everyday type of song. I mean, those songs can help you no matter what you're going through. But breakup specifically, remember the song? Na 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 na. Hey,
oh, you have me.
Goodbye, right?
You sent me that music video after my last breakup.
Yeah, I think it's like Christina DeBarge.
It's
if
an
that's
old,
a name.
It's an old one.
Na, 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 because you don't know how to act and you don't know where your life is going. No? It's good.
Oh, I
it's
didn't
good.
Know this was happening today.
Why
it's a cheesy
it?
One. It's a cheesy one, but it's not a bad one.
Yeah.
You have to be pretty sad to get past how bad it is, though.
It's
you gotta be crying. Like,
help me through some hard times. I'm gonna post it in the Facebook group so everybody can enjoy it. But it's good. I cut my hair because it reminded me of you. I know you like the short do. Had to switch my attitude up. No? Anyway, you
I
guys,
will say, nothing helps you get through a breakup like T-Swift releasing an album right as you're going through it. I mean,
wow,
that right there is a gift.
That's nice.
Oh my gosh. The two.
Great timing.
Like several times in my life that's happened. I think 1989 came out right as I went through a breakup and I was like, this is amazing. This is perfect. And you're like, you don't listen to Taylor Swift like any other time, I feel like. Like,
yeah,
you only listen to it when you're going through
good.
A breakup.
It is good.
It's like candy. Like, we've talked about this where there's music that's like, these are pop rocks. Like, they're not good. There's a lot of, like, dye in it.
Yeah, gonna get a
this
cavity.
This is a chemical. Yeah, gonna get a cavity, but...
Worth it.
Cam loves Taylor Swift, and he knows every
he?
Word. Like, he knew the day the album was coming out, and then he played the album, and he already knew every word. I'm like, how did this happen? Where did you find the time? But
see,
yeah,
whenever
he's a big
T-Swift comes
fan.
Out, I'm like, oh, another one. I guess it has been a while.
Yeah.
And then I love it. All right, so here's some quick stats and studies about dating and breaking up. There are roughly 3 million first dates every day worldwide. That's a lot of disappointment. Wow. 22% of people worldwide have had an affair. Seems low.
Again, everybody's going to be admitting to that.
Yeah, who's
informed,
checking that box on the whatever, the memo, the survey.
56% of all adults claim to be unhappy with their sex life. Oh, okay.
That's quite a high percent.
Yeah.
I would say that's pretty, that seems about right.
5.4% of adults die having never married. Oh my God. Did we need that stat?
Well,
like,
maybe they didn't want to.
5% isn't high.
Might be by choice.
Yeah. Long-term partner.
That's true.
Ship.
Okay.
Domestic
all right.
partnership. Or just like, they were like, fuck everybody. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what their tombstone says.
There are some mole men out there, though, that live in caves.
Who choose to live in caves?
Over 1 million divorces are filed per year in the U.S., and there are two major divorce seasons each year.
What?
According to a 2016 study from the University of Washington, divorce filings peak at the very start of the year and during the fall. And a
what?
Study from the
that
University
out,
of Basel, published in the journal Sociology, found that when women are the sole provider for the household, the relationship is twice as likely to be headed to divorce. Ooh,
damn,
I don't like that.
I know, like, Jesus.
I hope that's changing. That sucks.
Wait, so is this because a New Year's resolution situation with January?
The divorce season's New Year's resolution, but people are like, I'm cleaning this shit out.
Yeah.
Bye to you.
Yeah.
And then also...
Bye to you.
Bye to you. And then also, during the fall, you're coming off of like a hot summer fling, and you're like...
Oh.
out of here.
But what about cuffing season? Have you heard cuffing season? This is somebody told me about this, and it was someone who lives somewhere with weather. So it may not, we may not hear it out here in California. Okay. But cuffing season is like people get together in the winter because you're in like a cuddly mood. I don't know why it's called cuffing. I don't know.
Interesting. Like hygge for your body.
But yeah, I think so.
Okay, cuddling.
Wouldn't that make you stay with your partner until spring?
And then like starting relationship.
I'm shedding this dead weight for spring and summer, baby. Right?
Yeah. So this is Urban Dictionary. A time during fall and winter when people who would normally rather be single find themselves along with the rest of the world desiring to be cuffed or tied down by a serious relationship. Because it's all cozy.
I don't like the word cuffed for that. I want cutted. It'd be cutted.
I think cuffed. Mm. I think it's like cuff, like handcuffed to somebody.
Mm. Well, that's very sexual.
Mm. I mean,
like, or just like it reminds me of prison.
Yeah. Okay, hey, who says it can't? Who says you can't have it all? Yeah. You know,
we've just become three old women that like don't understand the new lingo. We're like, what is that?
I'm much younger than everybody. I will be Fuck providing off. Everyone with slang and just fun dating terms. Yeah. Now that I'm the Samantha of the group,
have you heard?
We're gonna go, Taylor. What's happening on the streets?
I'm out here. I have HPV.
Yeah. And you're our street correspondent.
Just sitting spread eagle on the sidewalk.
Going in later to have some bumps examined. I think it's going to be fine. Back to you, Kels.
I learned a new term recently. Finsta.
Finsta? Oh, yeah. Fake Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like a secret Instagram where you show your nips and stuff.
Okay. Or you'd use it to spy on people. Right? Like you can make a fake Insta and then you can spy on people that you don't want them to know you're looking.
That's just called having an ex-boyfriend.
I know. I was like, that's interesting.
But they call it a Finsta. Anyway, hot tip for anybody
who wanted to... That's called an unblocked workaround. That's called private browser.
I'll see your restraining order and I will raise you a Finsta.
You don't need to make a whole new thing unless it's Facebook. Then you will need a new profile. But who uses Facebook?
Oh,
you know?
Man.
Okay. Boy. I loved how Guy... put it in the intro of the book. He talks about how heartbreak can hit us like a storm, and the fact that the term heartbreak has been diluted. So like people will say it in terms of like, oh, my sports team lost, I'm heartbroken, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, Bella and Edward didn't get together in Twilight, I'm heartbroken. And it, as you get older, I think this is what he says, like, in as you get older, you're like, you kind of associate being heartbroken with like being naive and young. You're like, oh, teenagers get heartbroken. Like, yeah. I'm never going to handle it. It's never going to be as bad as when I was 16. And in some ways that's true. But there's like this expectation that as an adult, you are supposed to be mature and stoic and handle your shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that there's like almost this like value placed on different types of loss. So, you know, if you go through a bad breakup, it's, you know, not considered as bad as a loved one dying or going through a divorce. And he talks about two types of heartbreak in the book. He talks about the end of a romantic relationship and losing a pet, actually.
Oh.
Because they're both kind of similar, which I thought was really, that was helpful for me, because he talks a lot about like how people kind of go like, well, it's not as bad as this or it's not as bad as that. But for the person going through it, it is absolutely horrible and like upends their whole world.
It's like a death.
It is. Yeah. It's absolutely like a death. Catherine Cohen, do you know who that is? She's a New York like cabaret comic. She's so funny. She does this joke on stage. I saw her do it in Dublin where she's like, breakups are fun because it's like you have a best friend and then they die. And you're like, oh God, that's exactly what it's like.
Man. Oh my God.
Kelsey didn't laugh because she's in love. But it's
no, I'm just thinking that's not even a joke to me because that's like exactly
it's
real.
Exactly what
it's like so real.
Yeah. You have a best friend and then they're just dead.
Yeah.
And because, you know, there are these different values placed on like, oh, if you have a loved one die, like your boss at work, if your dog dies, is going to be pissed if you call out for a week, Whereas if your spouse dies, they're gonna be like, totally take all the time you need. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
So when you go through a really bad breakup and you feel like other people don't consider it as serious as it feels, you then start to criticize yourself for hurting. Like, why can't I move on? I should be able to get past this, which only makes it worse and worse.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And the more like scientific studies have been done on heartbreak, it shows that it affects your brain and your behavior and even like affects you physically. So one of the things he talks about in the book, Ethan Cross from the University of Michigan used an fMRI to scan the brains of volunteers who'd recently experienced a painful breakup. The scientists found that the emotional pain of heartbreak caused the same reaction in brains as physical pain, which the volunteers described as almost unbearable. So they basically like caused them physical pain and then had them look at videos or pictures and like remember the people that broke their heart. And the same things in their brain were like activated as their physical pain almost to an unbearable level.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So breakups also affect your physical health. Like the trauma of a breakup can cause panic attacks and a heightened level of anxiety, which triggers the release of cortisol. These symptoms can undermine our health and prevent our immune system from functioning properly. So like, you know, I can't believe I didn't get sick in the last few months. Like I was not, for the first month that I was dealing with my somewhat like gradual breakup, but from like the month after I kind of knew it was over, I was sleeping for a solid month, like 3 to 4 hours a night. I was barely eating. I cannot believe I did not get deathly ill. I mean, I obviously had some bad reactions to like pills and things like that. And you almost don't even know, but like I had to go out of the country for work for like a week, and the jet lag on top of all of the emotional distress.
Oh my God.
Was literally like, I was waking up, I was going to sleep at like, you know, midnight and waking up at 3 in the morning and just like journaling like crazy just to get through it. I was making lists of like things I had gotten through in the past just to tell myself logically, like, okay, these are all the things that you've already gotten through. This is going to be one of those things that you look back on and you go, wow, that pain was unbearable. I don't know how I got through it, but I did. Right. And sometimes when you're in that much pain emotionally and physically as a result of it, you cannot imagine it ever being different. And so if you are going through this, I would really encourage, I don't know if I read about it somewhere or if I just thought to do it, or maybe because in therapy, my therapist had said, like, you know, you've gotten through a lot, you have to remember, like, you're very resilient. If you actually take the time to write down, it's like making a gratitude list. It's like being grateful that you got through these difficult times. If you want to take it a step further, write down the good things that came of that, that came from those losses or those setbacks or times in your life where something didn't work out. I mean, I remember like my first heartbreak was like my college boyfriend broke up with me, and I just was like, I could not fuck. It was like to the point where I'm still to this day, I'm like, nothing will ever hurt that bad. And, you know, 6 months later or however many months later, I was like, oh, thank God. And I think about it every time I get something career wise because I was going to stop doing comedy and like marry that guy. I really was. And when he broke up with me, he was like, you should absolutely not quit comedy. Like, you should keep doing it. You're good at it. And every time I get something in my career, I reach a milestone, I think about that guy breaking up with me on my parents' driveway in the middle of the night and go like, oh, thank God.
Oh, wow.
Thank God. And like, thank God I didn't get back together with him. Just like, so glad that didn't work out. And I think if you can remember that in the moment of a breakup, because I think people's biggest fear when they go through a breakup is that they're going to just spend the rest of their lives regretting it, or they're going to go, oh, I messed up and I should have been with them, or I, you know, I'm just going to be in love with them forever. And, you know, sometimes it takes people a long time. I had lunch with a friend the other day who was talking about a girl he'd been in love with and that it took him like 5 years to get over her. And like, it sucks to think that that might be the case for you. But you will get over it. Like, I don't think I've ever met anybody who truly was like, yeah, this person broke up with me and it ruined my whole life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like for the most part. Yeah. People move on. For the most part, you can find the good in it. And I think most people get to a place where they're like, yeah, that was for the best. You know what I mean? But you can't rush that. Like, you really can't.
Yeah, everybody's process is very different.
Everybody's process is so different.
Yeah.
And we've all experienced heartbreak and recovering from it. The two things Guy talks about that you really have to rely on in recovery is, like, support from your circle and time. And time is not something that anyone likes to hear because it takes fucking forever.
Yeah.
And there's no knowing how long it's going to take. It's different for every person. It's different for every relationship. We've heard that everyone says that it takes like half the time you were with the person, at least. Have you heard that saying?
I think they say that on Sex and the City, too.
Like, that's they probably
do. A Charlotte quote.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, I read that kind of thing. Like, this is how long it's supposed to take to get over it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's true. I've had relationships.
I don't buy that either.
Yeah, I don't either. I've had relationships that lasted a while and it didn't take that long to get over. And then I've had relationships that felt just like it took years. I mean, I was on and off with somebody that I literally was like, I will never not have feelings for this person. And I still kind of feel like that to a degree. Mm-hmm. And like, every relationship is going to be different for you. And it's a lot to do with where you're at in your life, your age, your circumstances, what they meant to you at the time. Like, it's also complicated and everything is going to be different.
Yeah, totally depends on what the situation was, why you guys are breaking up, what you're doing currently, all that stuff.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Anytime I've been through a breakup, I can look back and see, like, the same thing. Oh, thank God that happened because this came out of it. Thank God that happened. So it's like, you know, maybe you can ask yourself, what is this trying to teach me? What am I learning here? You know, and just try to go in and do stuff for yourself.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people have put themselves on the back burner in a relationship. And now it's like a time to like reconnect and figure who you are again, figure out who you are.
Yeah, just find your own sense of like individuality.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Have you guys heard about, I'm sure you have, the study that talks about how like the withdrawal from a romantic relationship is very similar chemically to like somebody getting off of cocaine or heroin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. That.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is why it's hard for a lot of people to let go of relationships, even if they know they're not right, because you think you're connected to this person. You're like, well, why would I wouldn't feel as strongly if they weren't my person.
Right.
And it's like, you are addicted, bitch.
Like, oh yeah, for sure.
That's what's going on.
For sure.
Inside of you.
Yeah.
Which I certainly dealt with like in my most recent breakup, where I was like, I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't going to work long term. And I was still just like really trying to make it work because I just didn't want to feel the withdrawal, and I still was, but I was just trying to like defer that because it's so excruciating. And it's why I don't drink, because I'm like, I could never stop if I did get addicted to it.
You have to be like a Spartan warrior to be like, yes, like bring on these feelings. Like, of course, you know, like you want to postpone it and really get to a place where you're like, okay, there's absolutely no way that I can continue going forward with this person.
Yeah.
Because it's brutal. It's brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why, you know, talking about like relationship addiction and that feeling, that's why I started seeing that therapist in Seattle after the final breakup with my ex with borderline, because I was like, I am addicted. Like, my pattern is that I allow myself to go back to this person when he reaches out. And it's now been like, I don't know, over 2 years of the same thing. And I really need help not going back. So I knew at that point I was addicted. And even after I found out about you know, that there was borderline there and all this stuff, I still was real close to going back.
Wow. Yeah.
Very, very close. Like, and I would have, I totally would have gone back if I hadn't met Kane when I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I feel ya. And that's the thing. He talks about that in the book. I'm jumping around all over the place, but he talks about that too. At a certain point, like, something that is going to be helpful is finding a new person or getting a new pet. And a lot of his clients were like, I don't feel ready for it. And he's like, you're not going to feel totally ready.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, did you feel totally ready when you met Kane?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean, I had, it was like 3 months between my breakup with my ex and officially starting to date Kane. There was a 3 month period of time, and I was not, I mean, not even remotely in a place that I should have really started. But also, I'm like so glad I did, because Kane showed me that there are better people for me out there than like what that fit was with my ex. And people, you know, Kane like was treating me better and all this stuff. And, you know, then we dealt with the alcohol shit, and that was a whole other chapter. Yeah. But yeah, I was still dealing with, like, the week that I had my first date with Kane, I had just started talking with my ex again.
Wow.
And like, we were talking about like that we might try and meet up. If I had not gone on that date with Kane, because as soon as I went on the date with Kane, it just like, we just started seeing each other every day.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if I hadn't done that, I would have gone back to my ex. Guarantee it.
I was two weeks fresh off of a breakup when I met Cam. I was not looking for anybody. I was just like, to be honest, I'm just trying to fuck right now. Like, who out here? I'm back, baby. And so I was just like, yeah,
you know. Like Drake. Who out here?
I'm single. I'm not looking for anything remotely serious. Please. And just happened. But I always try to think of, like, what is the reason we are wired as humans to be like this? And I'm sure it stems from the fact that back in the day, your chances of surviving were much better when you're paired up with somebody versus if you're flying solo. So I'm imagining that, like, the pain that you're feeling when you're separating from somebody is still like that survival instinct or something. But now we don't need that shit anymore. Yeah. You're fine solo. So I don't know. I like kind of diving into, like, why do we do this? Because that tends to kind of help me. Like, oh, it's just how my brain is wired. It's not, I'm not actually going to be sad forever. This is not going to be some, you know, this is not my just indefinite state.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay. There's other people, there's other partners, all that. But
you're right. I'm sure there is something on some, like, caveman level that makes you go, like, I'm going to die out here by myself. I need a buddy in the woods.
Who's going to watch the fire while I take a nap?
Yeah. And then you adopt a cat.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
And everything's great.
I'm going to read some common mistakes that are made when trying to recover from a breakup. Mistake number one, refusing to accept our ex-partner's explanation of why they want to break up with us. If something causes a person immense pain, they tend to assume something equally momentous must have caused it. So if you are given a straightforward reason for breaking up, you may want to reject it. But obsessing over finding the deeper explanation of the breakup only prolongs pain and postpones recovery. How do you guys feel about that?
I think that's true. I think that's true. Or if you're the one to end things, you can be on the receiving end of that, of someone going, like, this isn't a big enough reason to break up, or like, they don't think your reason is good enough.
Right.
Because they don't want to. I think that can happen as well.
I don't know. If somebody gives me a reason why they want to break up with me, I never want to talk to them again. Like, I am just like, oh, I'm so done, because now, I don't know, like, getting that verbal thing was like, there's no getting around this.
Yeah.
If that's how you feel.
It's like emotion versus logic. Like, the words almost don't matter, whatever the reason is. It's like, emotionally, if you are feeling you don't want to be with me, then, like, okay, well.
Yeah. Like, I would never want to be like, wait, but let's try to figure this out. Oh, you don't want to be with me? Fuck you. Adios. Like,
So there's no bigger turnoff than somebody not wanting to be
with
you.
It's a switch.
Yeah.
It's a total switch for me. But many times you don't really get that verbal closure, and it's like this weird nobody's saying what's happening, and like, you're just kind of hurting each other, and then
I've really only been like dumped, I've only been broken up with once, and it was my college boyfriend, who was just like, basically just said, like, I'm not the person for you, like, I'm not, essentially said, like, I'm not in love with you, and then tried to get me back afterward, and I was just like, you told me you don't and we were talking for like a couple months, and then I remember I met my next boyfriend, and I just went out to coffee with my ex and was just like, you don't like me. Like, it's fine. Like, you just don't, I'm not, you don't like me that much. And it's okay. Like, it was just, it was fine. Because you have this idea in your head, especially your first relationship. You're like, I'm never going to find anyone again. And that's not true. But I think Guy talks about in the book, working with a woman who had a breakup like that, where she dated somebody for like 6 months. And then he told her, you know, I just don't see myself getting to that next level with you. I care about you and I like you a lot. I think you're amazing, but I just am not in love with you. And he talks about how she's just obsessing over, you know, that can't be the reason. So they had gone on this like romantic getaway the week before. And she was just like, what happened on that trip that made him not want to be with me anymore? And the reality of the situation is he went on the trip trying to deepen his feelings and just couldn't get there. Mm. And just the reluctance to accept it, holds you back if you can't just go. And I think it's true, even if it's something else, like even if you guys break up because you have different values or because it's long distance or because someone gets a new job somewhere else or someone doesn't want kids, like whatever the reason is, it's important to get to that place of, this is not going to work.
Right.
Okay. Just like whatever it is, this is not going to work. And I have to move on.
Yeah. In my opinion, if somebody tells you they don't want to be with you, believe them. And go elsewhere. Like, you're meant for something else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would not, I want the person I end up with to like want to be with me. And if there are issues, to like want to work it out and to be, you know, us to be kind of in that same space. But if it's like, no, I don't think so, I'm like, all right, that's makes it easier for me.
Right. And even if the reason they're giving you, even if the reason seems fishy to you or not logical, doesn't add up, like if you're suspecting maybe there is some sort of personality disorder there, well then even that in and of itself is a reason why that might not be a successful relationship. And again, it absolutely could be. I know people who obviously like are in a relationship with somebody who either has a personality disorder or they themselves have it, and they're in therapy and they're continuously working through it to make it work. But I think if somebody approaches you and is like, hey, we need to break up and the reason doesn't make sense, it's like, okay, well, even if this reason is not accurate as far as I can tell,
right,
clearly you're not in a place to have a relationship.
Right.
You like, need to work on your own things.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Or like, you know, my first long-term relationship, where I was like, back and forth with this guy for like 4.5 years. Sometimes I think he would break up with me just like as a game, you know, just to see like how much I cared and stuff. And it was like, even that, like, even if you don't really want to break up and you're telling me, that should be all right, I should go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And maybe like that would have worked out in the future if he had been willing to work on it, but in that time he wasn't. So
right.
I was like, okay, well, then never mind.
And conversely, if you're the person who doesn't want to be with the person, don't like stay and try to make them the person for you.
Yeah.
You know, because I've definitely been guilty of that, where like if I know something's not right anymore and I still keep trying to make it work, or I try to make them into something they're just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fair to that person to just stay and be like, why can't you just be different?
Don't try to force it.
Yeah, totally.
I've done that too. That was the relationship I was in before Cam. I tried so hard to force myself to like be into this person and it just wasn't there.
Yeah,
and he also wasn't feeling it. And it was just like, I felt like I had come off of so many things that did not work out. And a lot of them were just me not feeling connected. And I really thought like, Maybe you're supposed to just pick somebody and just like pretend that you like them, and then maybe eventually you'll actually like them a lot, and they're just supposed to check off your boxes.
Make it till you make it.
Yeah, yeah, you're just supposed to like, oh, okay, well, they have a job and they seem kind.
Sometimes that works.
And yeah. So I was like, no, like when I feel like I'm not going to meet somebody with the chemistry thing is bullshit, and the when you know is bullshit. So why don't I just force this and see if I can break my pattern of being like, no, thanks, adios. Mm. And so I was trying to force it, and then he was the one who brought up, like, I don't think this is working for either of us. I'm like, yeah, obviously, but why don't we do that? Obviously, we're not into each other in that way, but, like, maybe we should try.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it just wasn't.
Well, and I think sometimes you can. I think sometimes you can make yourself fall in love with aspects of somebody, even if it's not right, or even if there's things missing or something, which is so scary to think about. But I mean, you shouldn't have to talk yourself into somebody or talk them into you.
Right.
Mistake number two is assuming the breakup is your fault. This thought pattern is an example of a negative cognition wherein you exhibit self-critical, limiting, and harmful thoughts about yourself. When a person is in a grieving state, they are more susceptible to believe these critical thoughts are truth. These thoughts can haunt you and sabotage your healing process. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah,
and tricky.
Reject, like, if somebody is not into you, that does not mean that you're not attractive or awesome or wonderful. That's the thing, is like, you think about also like rejection as far as like the entertainment industry goes. Sometimes they're looking for a blonde and you're a brunette, and it doesn't mean that you're not talented or you're not beautiful, you're not totally awesome. That's just what they're looking for. And that's just the same thing with relationships. Like, look, if I met somebody who's like, their main goal was like, they wanted to live in a cave forever or something, I'd be like, well, that's probably not going to work for me. But like, you do you, and I'm going to live in my apartment.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that either of us are like bad people or whatever. Or like, so I think don't take anything personally. I think that's one of the four agreements, right? Is like, don't take it personally. Yeah. It's just not what it is.
Unless you're being a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you do have to go, okay, well, they're breaking up with me because I behaved in a terrible way.
Right.
That does exist. However,
A
lot of the time it might just be because you're not the right fit.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're not a piece of shit, but you were shitty. You were shitty enough to warrant a breakup.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
That's also another possibility.
Yeah. That's what, like, I think most of the time, and this is something I've had to, you know, I really struggled with when I was younger, because I want everything to be black and white, and I want people to be a piece of shit or a piece of gold, you know? And you kind of just, as you get older, you realize, like, oh, if somebody hurts me, no matter how blatant it feels, that's a reflection of them. You know, that's their stuff that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean, like, Guy talks about negative cognitions in the book, and about how, you know, heartbreak will confirm insecurities and false beliefs you have about yourself.
Mm.
So if somebody hurts you, even if you're the one who ends the relationship, you may form this idea. I certainly did this, where I was like, well, this wouldn't have happened if I were better in some way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it you just make it about you, where it's not about you, and it doesn't have to be a reflection of your self-worth, and, you know, you don't have to condemn yourself or condemn them. You just can get to a place of like, all right, everyone's not in the right place for this. This is not the right thing. Yeah, I think that really hit home with me, the negative cognitions. And we've talked about that on this podcast for sure. But you do have all these deep-rooted beliefs about yourself that we probably talked about this on the EMDR episode, but you have all these deep-rooted beliefs about yourself from childhood that are affecting your relationships as an adult, and kind of behind your reactions to things and your behaviors. And if you haven't done work on that, or you still have more work than you thought you needed to do, it can really, you know, it can really fuck you up when this stuff comes up in relationships.
Yeah, like a breakup doesn't have to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So just, you know, watch that when, if you are like spiraling, like, oh man, I should have just been better if I had been more perfect.
Yeah.
There's so many times where I've gone out, like in the beginning, I like the whole like rejection thing, or like, hey, you're great, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I've gone on dates with just a super attractive guy, great job, family oriented, very nice, said and did all the right things. But I just wasn't feeling it. Something was missing. And I would, why can't I just like one of these dudes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It just had nothing to do with how great they were.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important to keep in mind, too. Sometimes you just can't force that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes
and
just
who knows
not there.
What it is? Maybe it's something that we all like look for something familiar. Maybe you're just not familiar enough for them. It could be something as dumb as that.
Yeah, yeah, maybe your smell just doesn't.
I was just gonna say
sync
that.
Up with their
maybe
smell.
Their pheromones are like your mom's or something.
Exactly.
Weird.
Like
you don't look enough like cousin Becky.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Just don't know.
Yeah. You don't know. You have no idea.
Yeah. Are we into recovering?
Yes, we
are. Okay. Recovering, actively work towards letting go and treat yourself with compassion. So letting go to help yourself heal, let go of the hopes, happy memories, and physical things that belong to your ex-partner. Though many people feel guilt when trying to move on, letting go of the past does not disrespect or devalue it.
Mm.
Dude. Big fan of getting rid of all of their shit immediately.
Everything.
Oh, I'm like the exact opposite.
You keep it in a box somewhere?
I do. I still do.
You still do?
Oh, wow.
Throwing away a box feels so good.
Yeah, my first boyfriend from high school, we wrote each other like lots of love letters over the years, and they're like really creative and artsy, and I'll never get rid of
them. That's cute.
Yeah. That's nice.
I think whatever you want to do. I think as long as the items aren't making you feel pain or guilt every time you look at them. Like, I think it just depends on what kind of emotions they're invoking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you look around your room and you have all this stuff that reminds you of your ex person and it makes you just feel like shit every day, get rid of that or collect it and put it somewhere where you're not seeing it every day.
Yeah.
You know, light it on fire or put it in a box in the attic, but just like, don't make yourself look at that shit every day.
Yeah. I think the hardest thing now with technology is just like all the virtual reminders that you have to get rid of.
Paper trail.
Oh my gosh, all the pictures and videos and things. That was the hardest thing for me to delete all of that.
Mm.
And because there are certain things that, you know, you're like, oh, I feel like maybe I shouldn't delete this. Luckily, I have amazing sisters who were like, send us some of that you think you
nice.
Might
oh,
they're your iCloud.
They are my iCloud. They are my iCloud. They're like, send us, my sister Brynn was like, send me all of it and then delete all of it off your phone.
That's great.
And
that's
I thought
really
that was
sweet.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is a part of like
your
history. Like it's so tough because you don't know what's going to be cathartic and what's healthy and what's just like, like you just don't know. And
time will tell.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy talks about this in the book too, about just like the dangers of like social media and people popping up on stuff. And like, it's hard, man, because you can block somebody on everything, but even if you block somebody, if someone else tags them in something, it's still going to show
gonna
up,
be there,
right? Which you don't think it would be, but it still does.
You can mute them and stuff, right? Though, like you can just like unfollow or
you can,
but
can
you don't know where that person's going to pop up.
Oh, yeah. You can fully block them, but if they, you know, have a friend or they're on a poster or something that, you know, pops up on your feed, you won't be able to go to their profile because you have them blocked, but they'll still show up and you'll have to see them and you're like, oh.
Yeah. I took pictures of all my weird things that my ex-boyfriend and I made each other and stuff. So, like, I still have pictures of stuff that I'm like, maybe one day if I ever had a kid or something and they're going through their first shitty break, I'd be like, hey, here's my first shitty boyfriend. Look at this guy. And this is what he made for me. You know what I mean? Like, maybe something at some point, my experience will be helpful for somebody else. But I have that, and it's somewhere I could find it if I wanted to, but it's not something that's like easily accessible for me or anything.
My on again off again relationship, I had a lot of stuff that I like kept, and like I still find stuff like in my car or whatever, and I'm just like, oh, that was a nice thing. Like, now there's not as much
condom wrapper.
I'm kidding. Condom wrapper.
Aww, dude, some people do keep that. Some people do keep that.
Like hoarder. Mm.
Oh. Some people do keep that. I don't.
As long as it's the wrapper and not the actual.
Oh, I've heard people keep the actual.
Ew, what?
I'm not going to say who, but I know somebody.
Are you serious?
Boy, you better tell me afterwards.
I know. I want to hear you.
You better tell me afterwards. Oh, my God.
I think, and they were teenagers. Who know? I'm sure, hopefully, that thing's gone.
Oh, my God.
But yeah. The first
science experiment growing in somebody's closet.
For the record, this is not me, you guys.
That is so
I would stop being friends with you if I found out it was you.
Yeah, no, not me. But hey, you know, I guess you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Oh, another thing he talks about in the book, which I think is important for people who are going through breakups, is he talks about leaning on your support system and your friendships and everything. But he also talks about like exhausting your friends with your heartbreak and like getting to a point where he breaks it down where he talks about a specific case of his where it was the woman who was broken up with, wouldn't accept it, and said like her friends got more and more tired of it. And he's like, now before we judge them too harshly, remember the fact that like people who are supporting you, it's usually uncomfortable for them to see you in distress. And so if you fail to move on in a way that they feel like is quick enough, they start to feel like you're not holding up your end of the bargain. Like, I'm here watching you being distressed and unhappy, and it's uncomfortable for me. Huh. And I'm trying to support you so that you can move on, but now you're not moving on quickly enough. So, like, got they start it. Pulling back, which was interesting.
Weird.
But yeah, I also just think it depends. Like, I think you kind of learn. We talked about this on the cancer episode with Sophia about like she learned who her friends were, and like you just kind of realize who's gonna be there for you in those situations, and like you know what levels. And I mean, I found support from people I wasn't even close to. Like, I think the best people to talk to if you're going through a breakup, honestly, are other people who are either going through breakups or went through one recently. Because I had friends or acquaintances that reached out and were like, oh, I'm dealing with something similar, or I just went through a horrible breakup, or like people who had been through breaking off an engagement specifically reached out and were like, hey, I did that a few years ago. It was horrible. If you want to talk, this is what it is. And just finding those people who have gone through what you've been through and still remember it or are going through it currently, that is gonna make you feel like less alone, less kind of crazy, and less of like a burden when you're going through that time period.
Or maybe also people who have broken off an engagement and they're past it and they're with somebody else, and they're like, hey, don't worry,
I'm better. So glad.
Know, like that must be a nice thing too, like you can feel hopeful too.
Spread your talking about it around like your friend circle and acquaintances. Like, I think try and be mindful of like how many minutes, like if you're using up people's minutes as if it like a friend's a phone plan, because I know I did that, especially with my borderline ex, where it was like, that's, it's so hard when it's somebody you keep getting back together with, because your friends start to feel like, well, I've already told you everything I can tell you, and I also don't know what to say anymore because I feel like you're just going to get back together. And then that puts a strain on friendships. And it was like I knew that there were a few like best friends in my life that I just could not continue to reach out to because it wasn't fair to them. So, be mindful. Also, get a therapist if you can. It's so important. So important when going through a breakup, I think, to have like a subjective – I'm sorry, not a subjective, objective person. That's just going to like listen and be there for you and just be a professional. That's so nice.
Do you want to list off some of the things that have specifically helped you guys with your breakups, whether current or in the past, to leave with our listeners?
Oh gosh, I mean, there's so many. There's still so much from this, but I mean, if you can get the audiobook, it's not that long. It's under 3 hours, you guys, or you can go on Blinkist and read it. There's so much in it that's so great and helpful that he talks about. I mean, he talks about, you know, you got to like redefine yourself in the face of grief and not looking at your actions to define who you are, and decide who you want to be and then take action to become that person. Take it slow in new relationships because you might not be emotionally available at first, but also don't be too hard on yourself if you don't feel totally ready right away, because you know, you may never be ready. Another thing I thought was interesting that he talks about is that your body heals itself automatically when you have like a flesh wound, but your mind is trying to work so that you don't make the same mistakes that have caused you pain. And that's why they keep flooding you with anxiety and stress when you think about like getting back out there or dating again, or like when you might bring baggage into the next relationship, because it's your brain going, you don't ever want to feel this way again, so feel it really hard so that we remember how much this sucks. Like, we don't want to go through this again. It's your mind like trying to protect you. And then just practice positive self-talk. You know, we've talked about this before. If you are being really hard on yourself. Imagine saying those things to a friend of yours and be like, oh, that would be terrible. Practice self-compassion. That increases self-esteem, improves psychological and social functioning. It enhances your emotional health and lowers depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
As far as like, I know for me, I was having a hard time like, just like, oh, there are so many places I can't go now. And there are so many things I can't look at and like all these things. Mm. And he talks about creating new associations with those places and those things. Like he talks about a woman who felt like she couldn't go back to the brunch place she went with her partner and making that into a place she goes with her girlfriends and how you're going to feel weird the first couple times, but then it's going to become a place that you go with your friends. Don't bring up your ex-partner there. Don't include them in that. Mm. And kind of just like...
Yeah. Christen the space with something anew. Yeah. I like an exercise might be good. Kind of like what we talked about in the last couple episodes is like, why don't you like sit down and pretend like you're writing a letter to yourself, flash to 10 years from now and you're writing to yourself like 10 years ago. God, I'm so glad I went through that breakup because of X, Y, and Z. Because I finally did that thing that I was holding off on doing before. You know, I finally took that class. I finally took that trip. I took care of myself. Whatever. What would you like to come out of your breakup?
What
have you been sitting on and not paying attention to? Is there like a business you want to start? Is there just anything, a passion you want to take up? Is anything at all? Now's the time to do it, baby.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my advice of how I cope with breakups is like I really feel it. Like I let myself just sit in it and soak it in because I don't think, at least for me, it's never been helpful to try and like shove things down and just, you know, brush it off, dust my knees off, keep moving. Like, it's good for me to talk about it with friends, talk about it with a therapist, listen to those sad songs, watch breakup movies. Like, just, I like to binge it because then it helps me process things and move forward. Journaled a lot when I went through my last breakup. I know you talked to Taylor about journaling a lot too. That helps me a lot. So, yeah, I just give yourself the time you need, but I think you got to feel those feelings. Just be close with yourself. So
totally. Yeah.
And I would say reframe or sort of like rewrite the narrative for yourself. For me, when I decided to call off my engagement, it was really hard. And the hardest part about it, which I think is applicable to a lot of breakups, is like it's not even the actual relationship you have to spend so much time mourning. It's the future you had planned with that person.
Definitely.
And all the things you now don't get to do, all of the sort of future memories that you now have to erase, that you feel like, I felt like, oh my gosh, I have to start all over with somebody else. I have to let somebody else in. I have to do this or that. This person was involved in all these parts of my life. And absolutely give yourself time to feel all of those things because those things are real. And I think what Kelsey's saying is really healthy and true, is that you just have to go through it instead of pushing it down. But then hopefully you get to a point where you're like, oh my gosh, I get to explore more of who I am. I got to that point where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm 25. I was going to be married. Like that was too soon probably for me. And there's a lot of things about myself that I don't feel like I've explored, that I don't feel like I know. Even if it's just as simple as like, if you have a lot of anxiety around letting people in or getting to know people or, you know, becoming intimate with people again, I've certainly have had those things. Maybe try to reframe it like, oh my gosh, I get to fall in love again.
Dude,
that's fun.
Gift.
Oh my gosh. Spend as much of your life falling in love as you can. It's so fun. Like,
it's the best.
It's the best.
It's the best drug. I haven't done many drugs, but I still would say it's the best drug.
Yeah, truly, the only thing better than falling in love is like feeling totally safe and happy and trusting another person totally. But other than that, there's like nothing
better.
And
that's debatable.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know, honestly, if that's as good.
I don't think so.
But yeah, if you are dealing with this stuff, talk about it on the Facebook group. You know, start a thread. I would recommend if anyone's going through it, start a thread on our Facebook group of just like movies, songs, books, mm-hmm. TED Talks. There's some great TED Talks, too.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a TED Talk about how to deal with heartbreak or heal from heartbreak. I forget the exact title. That said, like, write down, keep a note in your phone of all the reasons you don't want to be with that person.
Oh, yeah.
Or why it wouldn't work. So that when those, like, flashbulb memories come up where you're like, oh, that was so amazing, though, and you're like, but it was mm-hmm. so ideal. You can go back and look through it and go, oh, that's right. No, I felt really terrible. Yeah, like, yeah. This is why I can't go back to that.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Agreed. We have an iTunes review, guys.
This is a really good one.
This is from WP668855. The self-helpless host discussed topics in a very relatable, funny, and non-judgmental way. Seeing a new episode pop up on the feed always adds a little joy to my morning. I'm definitely part of the guys can be self-helpsters movement. If you are a guy reading this, give them a chance and they will help change your world. Aww. Thank you so much, WP668855. So sweet of you.
That's really nice.
Thank you.
I love that.
And yeah, feel free to leave us an iTunes review if you want a chance to get featured on the show.
Yeah. Got some segments. I have, I don't know if I would call it a good shit or just like a revelation, but I realized that I might not be as good at putting together like outfits and clothing things as I would like to be. I feel very confident with like makeup and stuff like that, but over the years, I think I've struggled with how can I be comfortable on stage. Mm-hmm. And not worry about like people not taking me seriously or whatever. When I started comedy, I would wear dresses on stage, dresses, yeah. heels, the whole thing. And then lately I've seen pictures of myself on stage and I don't want to share them. Like if there's like a photographer at a show taking pictures, because I'm wearing like kind of an oversized soccer mom type of sweatshirt. I am wearing pants, jeans that like don't really fit me anymore. I've lost a little weight, which is great, but then I haven't gone and repurchased clothes. And so I'm wearing jeans that give me like dirty diaper butt. So you got a lot of Delaney outfits in your closet.
Yes. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like, I shouldn't have been giving Delaney any shit because I'm being a hypocrite. Like I kind of looked, I think I have some nice pieces of clothes that, especially like if I go to Vegas, if there's a reason to dress up, I think I can do a good job there. But like, day to day and on stage, I kind of struggle with like how to make myself feel confident and look the way that I want to, like dress in a flattering way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been wearing jeans that get like bunchy in the bottom and just like are kind of sliding down because they don't fit right. And I'm wearing Toms like with socks. I'm like a bad offender with like wearing socks with shoes that you are not supposed to technically wear socks with, but it's more comfy. And I watched the movie Crazy Stupid Love on the plane.
Ooh, that's great.
I don't know if I know that one.
It's a great
Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, and Julianne Moore leaves Steve Carell at the beginning of the movie. And you look at Steve Carell's character and he's just like looking so frumpy. And Ryan Gosling kind of comes in and is like, I'm going to give you a makeover. He's like, you're wearing a shirt that's like three sizes too big. He's wearing big, goofy dad shoes. And I'm like, oh, that's like me sometimes. Like,
oh my gosh, Kelsey, this is like, do you realize how hard it is for us to hear this? If you don't know how to dress,
what hope to the rest
of us?
Where
are we? What is happening to Delaney and I? If you don't know how to dress.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people stop trying at work. Just because you're on stage doesn't mean that you're not at work. That's your work. That's your job.
I wear the same two outfits every time I go on stage.
Stop putting effort.
You look put together. Do you know what I mean? Like
two outfits, though.
Yeah, but they're put together outfits.
Kind of.
Maybe you need two outfits then.
I look at like Nikki Glaser, she just posted on Instagram about that she has a stylist and that they've really helped her kind of like find her like the things that look great. And I'm like, shit, I kind of want to hire somebody to help me just like go through Nordstrom once and figure it out because I'm in this weird I just turned 30, you know? I'm like, I don't want to wear Forever 21 anymore, but I don't want to look like too old and modest. I want to look like sexy and professional.
Yeah, like blazers.
Blazers
in like a Nikki's deep outfit V.
For her, yeah, Nikki's outfit for her new special looks really, I think it looks great. Yeah,
she looks fantastic. She looks really so good on stage and she looks sexy and professional, but it's not like distracting. Her nipples aren't out. She just looks really put together and I don't want to feel like, oh, the only way I feel comfortable or confident on stage is if I'm like
hiding myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I work out. Like, why would I work out and try and have a nice body if I'm just going to put like a giant baggy sweatshirt on it and jeans that don't fit right?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of, I'm making myself feel bad.
Hmm.
It doesn't make me feel good. So I went to Nordstrom yesterday.
Ooh.
And I splurged on some nice new jeans and some nice new shoes. And I talked with Kane about it, and he was really nice, but he was like, yeah, I mean, I get what you mean. Like, there are times where I see you wear clothes and I'm like, yeah, you know.
Oh my God.
Probably not the most flattering. He's like, you know, sometimes I see girls wearing certain jeans. I think you look really good in them, but like, you know, you don't really wear jeans like that and stuff. Like, he was sweet about Aww. It, but he like, basically confirmed that there are times where I dress in a way that's just like, not the most flattering on me.
Oh God, mm-hmm. What does Cam think of me then?
I don't.
Poor Cam.
Cam would never, ever comment on
Cam's
how
point,
anyone
like,
dresses.
Can you stop wearing my clothing? I need things for work.
Cam's so high, his eyes aren't even open. He's not even seeing that you're wearing his turtlenecks. He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, Cam, my boyfriend and I share clothing, which is probably strange.
Yeah, it is.
It's super weird.
It's not
it
probably
weird.
It is.
Yeah, we could share jeans and stuff. We don't, but we could.
That is bizarre. Anyway. So I'm having a little bit of a wardrobe makeover. I'm very excited. I'm wearing earrings. I got new earrings. I'm
cute.
Starting to like wear
those
some
are really cute.
Thank
very
you.
Cute.
Yeah, I'm making some changes. I feel better already.
All right. I like it. I have an update. So remember the last couple episodes I told everybody to follow my dad on Instagram?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
So I get a call from my dad today. He's like, Delaney, I want to tell you, I've been getting a lot of followers, and I'm wondering if it's because I've been like, I don't know if he said like he's been posting on the self-helpless stuff, or like maybe people are curious about his new vegan journey and all that stuff. And I was like, Dad, I gotta be honest with you. I had a little social amazing. Experiment, and I had our followers, you know, from the podcast hit you up. But what's so funny is he has a private Instagram, and so he didn't know what was happening, and so he's just seeing like accept or deny all these requests coming in. He's like, oh yeah, I've just been denying them because they're all young women and I didn't want to upset your stepmother. and I just figured that people were finding me because of like, I don't know, maybe I'm commenting on the right stuff.
Oh,
that is so
God.
So
funny.
You guys, he said like probably a couple hundred of you followed him.
What?
That is so fucking
a couple
hilarious.
Hundred?
Dude, so fucking funny. And I was looking at his, Instagram, like, he's still at 11 followers. I mean, maybe nobody followed him. That's okay. But no, he's been just saying no, 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 because he doesn't know what's happening. And he's like,
that is so funny.
I haven't known any of these people. And I think it's like a mistake. I don't even know. But he's like, well, they all seem to be young women. I didn't want to upset your stepmom.
Oh, that is.
Bless
so
him.
Yeah, thanks for everybody who followed my dad. I don't know if he's going to accept you now that he knows, but who? I don't know. He's got a private account for his 11 followers.
That's
now actually
incredible.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
gosh.
That's just a funny update.
I mean, I can't beat that, and we need to record a Patreon. So let's just get out of here on some real, you know, some announcements. When does this come out again?
This comes out on October 21st.
Perfect. Okay. Well, in that case, as always, please go to my website, ttomcomedy.com. My Netflix special taping is on November 10th at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. A bunch of you have already bought tickets and are coming on. That's so cool.
That's
the early
awesome.
Show is already sold out.
Woo-hoo!
But there are still tickets as of right now for the 8 p.m.
I was gonna ask if it had sold out. I was thinking it might have.
Yeah, the early one has, but
that's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll see, which is great because it's like 2 months in advance.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, October 24th through the 26th, I am at the Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis. November 1st through 3rd, I am at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg. And then I'm running my hour a couple more times at the Setup in San Francisco on the 7th and 8th, right before my taping.
Sweet.
Amazing.
Go to kelseycook.com for tour date tickets. There's a bunch of stuff coming up, but they're kind of like, one's like a one-nighter at a university and stuff, and some are local here, so go check that out. And we're recording this before I'm at the Comedy Works in Denver, but this will come out right after that weekend, so I hope it was great.
Yeah, and if you want to work with me one-on-one with my creative consulting services, Doing It with Delaney, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram or my website or whatever, DelaneyFisher.com. Let's figure it out.
Yes.
All right. We love you guys. Go leave an iTunes review if you haven't yet, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and TTomComedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.